Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Podcast. My name is CT McManus, and for the next little while, it is my job to take your mind off the craziness of the world out there, get it refocused in on some good old-fashioned rock and roll. Guys, welcome back, man. We were off the whole month of November, all for the Thanksgiving break and all that, man. Hopefully, all you guys had a great Thanksgiving. Hoping you guys got some much-needed time with family, friends, and I'm hoping you guys are keeping your sanity out there amidst all the holiday rush right now, guys. Just wanted to welcome you guys back. We have a great show for you this evening. We'll be joined by Level Eye and Mark Ambrosia after that. Guys, if you did not make it out to our toy drive Saturday night, you missed an amazing time. The highlight, I think, of Rock and Roll Union happened at the end of Saturday night, and it was just a very special moment for everyone that was involved. And it's just something that legends are made out of. Anyway, switching gear, well, kind of keeping the same gears. If you guys did not get the chance to come out, you still want to donate to the Rock and Roll Union Toy Drive, you can do that this Saturday night in Williamstown. The address is on our events page. We are having a kick-ass Christmas episode. The Christmas episode of the podcast will run from 6 to 8 p.m., and then we'll be having a party afterwards, Christmas party, man. This is our first ever official Christmas party. We had our first year, we had an unofficial Christmas party with Three Chords Money, Rat Rod, and Lady Diesel. This Christmas party, Rat Rod will be laying it down for us again. Really looking forward to it. And just having a lot of good time out there. We'll have games, we'll have food, we'll have it all. And it's BYOB. It's an all-ages show. All you got to do is bring an unwrapped brand new toy and you're in, man. You just can't beat that. The beginning of 2021, I can't believe we're closing it out already. In the beginning of 2021, we had a memorial show. It was our very first show of the year. We paid homage to Pete from Lady Diesel, Cyanide Saints, all those bands that he was a part of. He was such a big part of the scene, such a big part of all of our lives. And we kicked that show off. We kicked the year off with a show for him. So in that vein, we're now past the 1 year mark of the passing of Pete. In honor of him, his family, and anyone else that could be listening, here is Cyanide Saints with Christmas Rap. are possibly one of the only shows left out there still playing the Bloody Stools. That is Santa's Dead. Big shout out to my friend Vinny, man. Hope all is well with you, my brother. So switching, well, not switching. I keep saying switching, but we're not switching. Back on to the Christmas music. And still with Pete in mind, here's a little bit of Lady Diesel. Oh, no, it's Christmas.
What's up, bud?
Hey, man, it's Christmas time and shit.
Indeed it is.
I feel like doing something a little Christmassy today. Something bluesy, something swaggery, something rock and rolly. What do you think?
I'm kind of curious where you're going with this. What do you got?
Well, I got a place I'm going. I can show it to you. It goes kind of like this.
All right.
Wreck the house.
talking mucho dinero and probably some American money too. Yeah, man, loose change in the couch. Yo, who's this Cadillac Quattara?
Can I
use this credit card?
I think we can.
I can do this signature, man.
I'm sure we could.
Are we going to Target?
Absolutely.
I can work, make that work, man.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, what a mess. I hate this time of year. I'm going into debt for love. I'm going into debt for nothing. Yo, and how much love does a Dunkin' Donuts gift card say anyway? $5 in town. I couldn't tell you.
One of the highlights of this year was having Dee Snider's guitars call in. Man, that's off the new Dee Snider album that came out this year. That was Prove Me Wrong. Guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by the boys in Level Eye. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
513 declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, this is Total Package, Lex Luger. You're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
Since 2018, there's only been one program that brings you artists from around the world, both big and small, brings you the best in local talent, and hosts live events. Rock and Roll Union is all of that and more. With CT McManus, the lovely D, and new co-host Psycho Steve Preston, you're sure to get everything you need. So tune in Mondays at 6 p.m. for your one-stop shop for all things rock and roll. Rock and Roll Union, music worth fighting for.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Cassie Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off a building.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into, like, snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Ken Resnick.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airline cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have cried?
Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Taylor, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. Talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out, VOCNation.com, WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Yo, this is Jerry Stein of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobbs here. You getting ready to get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mother. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Rock and Roll Union Podcast, guys. We got a big event going on this Saturday night in Williamstown. It is our Christmas episode of the podcast, and we're also having a major Christmas party. Music provided by Rat Rod. And not only that, but we have a major announcement that we're going to reveal to you guys about the direction, about the future of Rock and Roll Union. Don't worry, we're not going anywhere, man. We're just getting started. But we're going to have a lot of great music, Saturday night food, BYOB, and the only thing you got to use to get in is a brand new unwrapped toy to help out the family of the Division of Family Services of Salem County, guys. It's a lot of kids that could really use the extra help this time of year. Let's show them that they're loved, that somebody cares out there for them. We're going to be joined momentarily by the boys in Level Eye. They laid it down for us Saturday night. And what a show, man. What a show. If you weren't in location, if you weren't there, you missed a great night. I'll tell you another band that really Psychedelic Elders killed it as well, opening up that whole show. And I'll tell you what, aside from Scott McClatchy, who I can't stress to you enough what that night was like, but there was also a young band there called Moonroof that was just incredible. We found all ourselves dancing, jumping around, like having a good time, man. I thought I was like in my teens again. But they were a great band. They'll be coming up on the show. Not tonight, but we're getting them scheduled as we speak. And guys, just an amazing night of music, of camaraderie, of people actually just caring enough to be there. So once again, guys, you have Saturday night to come out to party with us, BYOB. We're not in a bar, but you can BYOB. That's a hell of a lot cheaper than going out to a bar. Guys, we're going to have a good time. It's all ages. You can bring the kids. We're going to have fun, guys. We're just going to have a nice time of bringing our union brothers and sisters together, and it's just going to be a great time. Anyway, switching gears, this next band has been on my radar. They played a Rock for Recovery way back when, and what a great group of guys, man. I've known Danny for a while, and great guy, and I believe we have him on the line now. Thanks for calling the Rock and Roll Union. Who's this?
ACT, it's Mark. What's up, man?
Hey, Mark. How are you, man? I was just prefacing these guys, man. Still waiting for Danny to call in, but I got a feeling he'll be a little late as usual.
<That's> funny.
So how long, getting into the band a little bit, how long have you guys been playing together? How long have you known each other?
Level Eye collectively, we've probably been going on about 4.5 years now. But,
what's up, CT?
Hey.
Me, Rob, and Dan, we've known each other 20-plus years.
Wow. Yeah, now, did you guys play in any other kind of other arrangements in that time, knowing each other?
Oh, yeah. Me and Rob met in high school at an old high school band. That was fun. And then we got back together again for a reunion show, and that ended up turning into Level Eye when the other two members of the old band dropped out. It's pretty cool.
Hey, CC, you want to know how they got back together?
How's that?
As I scared the living shizit out of Rob. Rob and Mark weren't talking, and we went to a party. They were completely avoiding each other from a past fight that lasted way too long, and I brought them back both to our house. I sat them down at our kitchen table, and I said, you apologize, you belong together, start another band. And they were like, oh, we don't know what to do. I was like, I'm going to leave. You're going to work this out.
We did. It's been true love ever since.
5 years later, they're still here.
So in a normal, common band, there's bound to be fights. There's bound to be arguments. Do you guys go through any of that mess?
We're pretty chill. We realize, you know, when we start doing this, we're like, we're just going to write stuff for us. We're doing this for fun. You know, we're not trying to, you know, make it big. We're all in our 40s, you know what I mean? We're just, it's our hobby. It's our passion. You know, we just love doing it. So we don't really squabble like that.
Now, the one thing I got to say, Mark, that I realized with you, as opposed to, and honestly, I didn't know this about you until Saturday night, and I believe we got Danny on the line with us, but I didn't realize how deep your music repertoire went. As far as Level Eye is concerned, you guys have a obvious, like, grunge feel, 90s kind of rock era feel to you guys, but
That's why.
Guys, welcome Danny, man. And I just got to say, Mark, like, hearing you talk about Van Morrison and other bands, like, where do your major influences come from?
Oh, my God. Like you said, Van Morrison, any kind of classic rock. I'll even do some folk, you know, some pop. Lindsay forces me in with some little bit of country, but we won't go there.
Oh, shut up.
Man, I love Slayer, I love death metal, I love rock, pie, anything that's fun, man, just like catchy, groovy. Some of my big references growing up when I started playing guitar was, you know, Scott Ian, you know, Among the Living came out in the year of the Big Four, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Anthrax, Metallica, Slayer. Lit a fire.
Now, Danny, how about you, man? Like, I obviously know, I noticed some, like, Pearl Jam influences there, some, like, Soundgarden. But what else do you have going on that that you grasp onto?
Well, when I was young, it was definitely, you know, I'm a Seattle brat. All the Seattle bands grabbed me. I loved the dirty feel. But before that, I was exposed to all the pop, and I love Michael Jackson, and I love the Move, I love the dance, and, you know, in the past 10 years, all this music has come out, and nobody's even paying attention, because it's not, quote-unquote, mainstream, but I think all those outlets are gone, you know what I mean? Everybody can just grab what they want now, and lately, I've been into nothing but females. I love Tune Yards and Kimbra. I found somebody that was, I didn't even know, was apparently on America's Got Talent or something, Remy Wolf. I mean, she's amazing. You know, anything that gets my middle wiggling, you know what I mean? But
love the wiggle.
Nah, the four of us, I tried to explain to somebody. I said, the four of us, you know, being Level I, we make what we make. Like, this is what the four of us are producing. And we always comment amongst ourselves how nobody's ever playing the same thing. Like, we're not all just popping power chords, but we got to pop together.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I gotta mention that there is a funkiness to some of the stuff that you guys do. Kudos to your bass player, and there's just a rhythm that some of your music has that is just infectious. And
thank you.
Really, that's awesome.
And you know, it's just, and hearing where some of the lyric content comes from. Now, as far as writing material is concerned, who handles what in the band?
Go ahead, Mark.
Well,
Mark,
we all
write
the lyrics, but really, I think the heart of it, no pun intended, is just watching Dan get his heart kicked in over the years. Poured out on paper, man. It sucks to see him go through it, but you know what? It's a beautiful mess when it comes out on paper.
It's the four of them. The structure comes from the other ones, though. I mean, I appreciate that, Marcus. You know, I love you, brother. What's up? But no. Level I is a result of, you know, what did we say that one night? You know, let's grab that ball of energy in the middle of the room and then disperse it to everybody else. But we had to come up with that ball in the middle of the room first, and that's their structure. That's their,
actually the first to completely collective band I've ever been a part of, you know. Like, Dan will come up with
exactly.
He's got an idea that just turns into something, and we'll all add something to it. Nothing is one person's baby. It's just all ours.
I've never been in a band like this before.
Now, I know you guys just recently released on streaming platforms new music that you guys have out. Where can people find that? Yeah, Saturday. Where can people find that, and what went into the recording process?
Well, first, to tell you where to find it, which is literally everywhere you can think of, over 150 different streaming platforms. So just for my own benefit, I wanted to see how cool it was. I asked our song, Suck for Love, and then I opened the Shazam app to see if it would recognize it, and it didn't. It just, I got a big kick out of it.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow, that's cool. That's so cool.
It gave me chills, yeah. When we first started recording, the demo we released, the 10-song demo, is literally our first song we wrote together and the last one we wrote together up to the point where we started the recording process. And that started almost 3 years ago. Our bassist, Ed, wanted to learn how to use the recording software, and we self-produced it, and he learned as he went along and got really good at it, man. But doing it one day a week, 2 days a week, took a long time, but it turned out well.
Kudos to Ed. He definitely, he did just that. He learned and he did it.
Seriously. Yeah.
Now, wondering if you guys could school me on something that I was always a little curious about, and I don't know if more goes into it or less goes into it than I think, but as far as, like, tracking an album is concerned and deciding what goes where, how into that do you guys get?
Some songs have, you know, 40 different tracks to them, you know. We'll have 10 drum tracks.
Not ours, though. We kept this in, though.
Yeah, except in some parts, you know. You got clean transitions, you got fills, you got leads. You know, drums are always going to be 9, 10, 12 tracks. Backup vocals, lead vocals, all your harmonies. You know, we doubled the guitars. Yeah, we didn't go excessive. We wanted to keep it live sounding for the most part.
Now, you guys have played all over. You're from South Jersey, same as me. But unfortunately, there's not any place in South Jersey to play for original music. Any places outside of South Jersey that you guys love to play? Any favorite venues?
The Fire in Philly's got a great stage, but that's in Philly. It's not South Jersey.
Yeah.
Hotshot seems to have a great stage, but I don't know how big they are on original music. Where you did your Rock for Recovery. That was pretty cool. Right. Jersey's dried up, man. Like, the Pennant was, like, one of the coolest places to play back in the day, and they're gone.
Yeah. I think many of us came up through that White Trash Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
Beat the clock,
Hell yeah.
Oh, boy.
And I think I was one of the cheapest guys back then.
So yeah, we were underage, man. Our first band played it Loud and Local, man. I used to, like, pass in beer and, like, like 17 years old. I'm like, wow, no one of you guys are out of business.
But
it's a lot different now, definitely.
I kept saying in the beginning of the show that we were part of something special Saturday night, and it's kind of hard for me to even put into words exactly what went down Saturday night. But it was just one of those magical, moments that – how do
it
you guys describe
it? Seeing Moonroof play, first off. They just played surprises hard. And just seeing the generational transfer of, like, just respect and knowledge and experiences was awesome. And they hung around, and we just all went inside, grabbed a beer. Scott was sitting there, Scott McClatchy, with Dave. And they just started jamming, man, like, telling war stories. And it was so impressive. It was lightning in a bottle. It was like something that would never happen again. Just, wow. One of the most memorable nights ever there at the Nail.
Anyone that was not there missed the probably coolest, chillest, most, like, CT, you and I were talking, like, it's like we keep thinking about it. Like, you can't get it out of your head.
Yeah.
It chills.
Yeah. I didn't realize the life Scott had. All his connections, So it's just amazing, you know. He's just like, oh, yeah, me and Brian Adams and, you know, Fogarty and whoever, Frampton. I'm like, he just throwing names out. I'm like, yeah, he's showing pictures, and it's like thousands of people out there. Like,
hey,
wow.
Like, there was a moment that I found myself kind of chuckling to myself because he was like, Yeah, I was playing with a guy. His name's Dion. And I'm like, who doesn't know? Well, I mean, maybe the younger the guys that hung out from Moonroof may have not known that. But, God, Dion, that's like my – like, that's what I go back to. And
the guys from Moonroof were so the looks on their faces were so they didn't know the music like we know it. Like, they didn't know the words. They really don't know the era. But the respect and the enjoyment
love.
And the love and, like, just, oh, like.
It was that ball of energy Dan talks
like
about.
The camaraderie was ridiculous.
I got to say,
like,
there was a moment, aside from Scott playing, I remember hanging out with Scott, on stage after all this stuff had been taken off and everybody's kind of hanging on the stage talking. And I looked at Scott and Moonroof was just taking in every word of advice, standing there quietly and respectfully. And I think that's a big thing that, you know, maybe that's going to help them elevate to that next level, because there's a lot of that respect missing from the younger generational musicians.
Couldn't agree more, man. And they already have over a million something, you know, subscribers and listeners on Spotify. They're not doing too bad, man. But they still were.
They were
humble.
Glued. They were glued.
It's awesome.
They couldn't look away.
And I remember it was Danny that kind of got me into them. We just started a party. I remember everybody dancing, everybody moving, and like I said in the beginning of the show, I felt like a teenager again, man. That stuff was just Moonroof's music. It's got a feel to it.
It really does. That cover of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs on Maps they did, oh my God, it floored me. It was never heard anyone
cover
it.
Shout out to Chris from the Nail, because Chris was the one that brought them into the show, and happy he did.
Me too. Yeah, never was exposed to him.
I still have yet to post the video of CTU Dan. Mark just jumping up and down like teenagers. I have a video of you guys. I mean, you guys were so pumped watching Moonroof.
And yet so uncoordinated. We were trying to do that dance where we put our one foot in, our feet, we were all falling over.
No, we
like,
were not, no.
Well, you and Dan were okay, but then as I joined it in, it got all messed up.
Video is classic. I'll post it after the podcast. It's so classic.
What's that?
That's the gout.
Oh, the
gout.
Coming.
No,
they
were
a lot of fun, man. They were.
The other thing we must mention from Saturday night, and it's one of those unfortunate things, is who the hell put the curse on the step? Everybody.
Oh,
was
I know.
Oh.
We love Griff, first off.
We love Griff.
Yeah. He handled it gracefully, man. And Joe, like, let Dan's guitar stand and, like, stuck around. It dug. It was, again,
yeah,
another generational thing. It's just cool. But it was the night of the curse of the step. I think Dan fell victim to it as well.
We were all falling all over ourselves.
Yeah. Whereas, like, there's traveling drum sets, fallen singers, fallen fans.
Falling drinks, almost ruining equipment.
But it ended up being such an
epic
night.
It was a great time, though.
It really was.
It was supreme therapy for me.
Oh, yeah.
Dan, we know you need it, Danny.
Oh, yeah. I had a blast. I absolutely did. I always enjoy you guys. Everybody there, like, and that new band, the Young Cats coming up, that was great to see. But Psychedelic Elders, they blew me away. I definitely watched that. I was like, I didn't expect anything because I don't go in with any expectations. You know, you don't want to have any preconceived notions about other bands. We've already learned our lesson about that. And they had a great time. They were awesome.
I got to give respect to the band that I can't pronounce their name because their
Bora
bass
Bora.
Player, there it is. The bass
Bora
player
Bora.
Tucked out and
Bora.
They played the gig without him. To the fact, like, when they first got up there, I was like, is this the McClatchy duo? Because, like, there's two guys here. And the fact that they continued and were as professional as they were and played the songs that they played, they did a great job as well.
100%. They started out covering the Beatles. Like,
can't go wrong there.
That's balls. It's ballsy.
Man. So, as far as Level Live, how can people go about finding the band on social media, websites, that kind of thing?
We're on Facebook, Level Live Band. You could email us directly, levelieband@gmail.com. You can find us on Spotify, Level Live, Pandora, Amazon, all the major streaming services you could think of.
Any upcoming gigs?
I think the next
We're
one
taking...
is due in February.
February.
On Bar 13, February 19th.
Nice. Good venue.
Yeah, and
can't
wait to be my there, so I'm looking forward to it.
As far as the future of Level Eye, what are you guys hoping to achieve in 2022?
Hopefully a whole another set of songs that we can put out again. More gigs, just more fun, more laughs, you know.
More folks, definitely.
Yeah.
Just more folks in general, all around.
Yeah.
We all need it.
Man.
The thing about Level Eye, like, just to chime in for 1 second, is they always come up with something different and new. Like, they always surprise me with, like, a new song that they write, and it's not necessarily the way they were going. It's totally out of left field, and it's like, where did that come from? Whoa! Like it's because, like how Mark was talking about how they're really collaborative. They really are. Like, one person will come up with a riff or a anything, and then they all just kind of like one mind, like, come together, and it just flows.
We all have different styles, too, different ways of playing, you know. Dan with his grunge, he's got that great tone to his voice. You know, Ed's like the master of tale writer and, you know, hook maker. Rob brings it all together, you know what I mean? Dan came to us with a song that he had, I think, a riff from his old band, turned into a song called Suffer Love. And we always closed with it.
Absolutely.
It was a collaborative effort. So much energy to it, and that was when I think we really, really felt like we had something.
So my last
can
question.
Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead,
of course.
Danny.
Can I comment on that? Nah, this band Level Eye, it came at a time when I think the four of us needed it anyway. You guys were getting back into music. You had done a few shows with Chucky Chuck, and
yeah.
You put that little feeler out to me, and I responded, and I didn't have any hopes or expectations, but we hit on that one dumb riff, and I said it the first night. Did everybody else feel that? And, of course, I got picked on. Like, no, nobody's feeling that. Go sit down, weirdo, hippie. But everybody felt it, and that's why, you know, here we are. And like Mark said, yeah, we got more tunes on the way. There's three or four that are already peaking the senses and making this wiggle, you know.
Yeah, we opened
the... I don't know.
It was one on Saturday, the Ossify.
Yeah, it's relatively new, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
With the new tracks, are you guys looking to play them before you record them, or are you the other way around?
Oh, yeah, old
well,
guy
we
tried
them out. Well, we played Ossify, definitely.
Sure. Yeah, that's like the first new ready one we opened the set with. And solidify the rest of them, you know, you got to gauge crowd response, you know, see people are bobbing their heads and what needs to be worked on, smooth them out. I mean, it's like a comedian working on his material.
So my last question for you gents, since you're both guitarists, favorite equipment. What's your favorite guitar to play?
Schecter, hands down, every time.
Danny?
Well, I'm not exactly like I'm not into the equipment and such. I've had the same guitar for many a moon. maybe I'm partial because it's a Hamer and I'm German, so I stick with that. It never fails me, you know? That thing is reliable, so
it's got
resilient,
great
like your monkey.
So, guys, thank you so much for spending time on your Monday night with us. And
thanks for having us.
Dude, I will see, hopefully I'll see some of you guys on Saturday night, and the rest will catch up soon, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll be there for you on Saturday. Remember, check us out on Spotify, Level I Band.
Oh, you know what, guys?
It's rock
I'm sorry.
And roll.
There was one other question I wanted to ask you before we close out. I'm getting ready to play your track, your namesake. How did this song come about?
How the song came about?
By accident.
By accident.
By accident.
We had a thing at practice called Quiet Time between sets. I think I was just fiddling around at low volume, trying not to bother anybody. And Dan was like, oh, that sounds kind of cool. And we just kind of built it from there, man. And like I said, everyone constructed it piece after piece, and one night just came out. And we didn't know what to name our band. We liked Level I. But now we're called Level I. We have a song called Level I. Because we're a fire band name for like a year.
Well, guys,
thank
you once again. And you guys have a great rest of your week. I'll see you guys soon.
Thanks. You too, CT.
Good night.
This is Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute, you're listening to VOC Nation Worldwide.
VOC Nation is one of the longest-running wrestling podcast networks. Having started way back in 2010, VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts also include former backstage interviewer from both AWA and WWE, Ken Resnick, former WCW performer The Maestro, former Impact performer Wes Crisco, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Wirtz. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirtz, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. Both shows take callers live during the show, and recent guests have included General Adnan, Tito Santana, Haku, Earl Hebner, Danger Sandy Davis, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Brodus Clay, and so many more. Archive-free content includes past interviews with huge names like Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, Kurt Angle, Sting, Mick Foley, Joey Styles, Howard Finkel, and so many more. Listen live at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all the podcasts by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. And be sure to follow these guys on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Hola, this is your amiga, Shelly from Cali, to let you know you can catch me here on VOC Nation for Shelly Live. You never know what the hell I'm going to be talking about. Sometimes I have guests. Sometimes I let you on in the cheese mess, spill a little tea. Sometimes I cry. You have to tune in to find out why. And I also take your calls. I love chatting with you guys and seeing what the hell you guys are thinking. So meet me here on the VOC Nation. Be there or be square.
Rock and Roll Union for the past 2 years has been the place for rock and roll, new rock and roll, debuting rock and roll, and some of the old classics as well. We have welcomed guests from around the world, national artists and more. We have excited many people by our live events. We've welcomed everybody into the fold, and we continue to do so on a weekly basis. Guys, that is Rock and Roll Union, and that is what we do for you.
Saturdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, VOCNation.com. Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro, talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out. VOCNation.com. WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Rock and Roll Union Podcast, guys. Big shout out and thank you to our boys over at Level I for joining us this evening. Our next guest, Mark Ambrosia, another South Jersey guy, man. This is just South Jersey night. Really, really happy for that. There's so much talent, so much music coming out of South Jersey and no venue for it. How much does that suck? So if anyone out there is listening and can help with that, we'd love to hear from you. You can call in here at 914-338-1885 if you ever want to chime in about anything. That number, once again, 914-338-1885. Once again, I'm going to reiterate it to you guys. I'm going to pound it out the whole show. Saturday night, if you're not partying with us, I guess you're just not partying with us. So Rat Row will be playing live. We'll be doing our podcast live from 6 to 8 p.m. Games, fun, the whole time for the podcast. And then after the podcast, 8 o'clock, starts our Rock and Roll Union Christmas party. Live music once again from Rat Rod. And a couple surprise musical guests joining us. And it's just going to be a blast, guys. Really going to have a good time. BYOB. We'll have food. We'll have snacks out there. And it's an all-ages show. All you need is a brand-new unwrapped toy for kids that are in much need of some cheering up this Christmas season. So, guys, we are looking forward to talking to Mark Ambrosia. He'll be calling in momentarily. We're I'm going to look and play a little music, man. It's been a while. You know what? I'm going to give a big shout out to my boy, Bill McClintock. Here is Van Wonder with Chained Up Tight. Big shout out to my boy Bill McClintock, man. If you guys love stuff like that, if you like mashups, Bill is the premier, man. I'm telling you, his listens are getting millions of listens to on YouTube. Make sure you check him out. Bill, thank you for letting us play you on the show. So, changing gears here, guys, I want to introduce you to another South Jersey local artist, man, and really excited to have him on board with us. Guys, help us welcome Mark Ambrosia. Mark, you with us, brother?
Hello. Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Man, thank you so much. It was so funny. Like, we didn't know where each other was in the entire United States or world, for that matter. And it just so happened to be that we were probably within 25 miles of each other.
Yeah. probably like 20 minutes right down the road or something.
So, getting down to it, man, how long have you been playing, and how's the scene been to you?
So, let's see. I guess my first EP was about maybe 8 years ago. And but I've been singing since I was like 5 years old. I started singing, you know, gospel and blues, and then got into high school and was in like a rock cover band, and then from there started, you know, writing my own songs, and the rest is kind of in history. But I'm, you know, the scene has been, you know, pretty good to me always. It's you know, Jersey's a pretty storied area for musicians and art, and so it's been, you know, fertile ground for me, and I think for a lot of other people in that sort of indie Jersey you know, situation.
Now, as far as doing shows or gigs, do you lean towards doing covers or original stuff, or in, how much of your show would you say is both?
So, you know, I haven't done as many shows in recent years, but when I choose to play shows, I stick to the originals for the most part. I'm not really a, you know, one of those guys who's out there, you know, doing like 3-hour cover sets and maybe trying to sneak in one or two original songs. And, you know, the gigs I usually chase are the ones where I'm able to really design an evening of original music and, you know, maybe a couple covers if I want to. But, you know, really the emphasis is on my own art.
And with your art, how was growing up for you? How was, like, what were your influences, and how old were you when you got into playing music?
So, yeah, for me, I mean, I think that we're all, you know, sort of products of what the people around us, the adults around us, grew up listening to. For me, you know, that that consisted of, on my dad's side, things like Tom Petty and Rolling Stones. My mom was totally into the sort of singer-songwriter realm of things, so there was a lot of Joni Mitchell and James Taylor and Fleetwood Mac.
Gotcha.
And she was also into Bee Gees and stuff like that. So and then you know, I had grandparents who were into country, and my grandmother was big into Rod Stewart and Celine Dion. So I had a lot of music coming at me in all directions. And so
gotcha.
I was able to, you know, pull from a lot of different sources of, you know, what I was listening to, and sort of trying to find my own way within that, you know, that music I was taking in.
Gotcha. And I mean, at what age did you realize, hey, I want to do this, I want to play? Like, and what was your first instrument?
So for almost instantly, really, I knew I was ready. I remember watching old home movies of like Family Vacation in Disney World, and I was 2 years old at the time, and there was some sort of, you know, music being played live, and I ran right up to the stage and just started dancing, and it's right there on videotape. And that to me is the moment I think I knew I wanted to make music, even though I didn't really, you know, was able to create any opinions or dreams.
Right.
But that was, I think, where the music got into me. And then it didn't take long for me to really realize there's something here that is for me and something that I want to claim as my own. And then as far as, you know, instruments go, for me, it was all about singing. Singing is what came naturally to me. That's one day I just opened up my mouth, started singing, and realized, oh, it doesn't sound too bad. And then other people around me are like, you sound really good. And so that just sort of began everything. So it was really just started out as singing. And then when I started writing, it were just sort of words on paper. And then eventually I, you know, teamed up with some other musicians who helped me put music to my words. And then eventually started, you know, playing my own music, you know, forming my own way of playing piano. And that was sort of my instrument of choice, and pretty much has remained so. You know, I've done a little bit of guitar, but usually I leave the guitar playing to better players than myself. But I write a lot on piano, and I do love writing bass parts too. So,
now, is it something to do that does with the rhythm that gets you into those bass parts?
Totally, totally. I love, you know, it sort of comes from my old, you know, roots of gospel and blues, you know, blues and having music that was sort of all about the boogie. And so being able to like write some bass parts is totally, you know, brings that back into the forefront, trying to find the groove and give the song its feel. And that's always a huge, huge part of the process for me.
And as far as current music or what you're listening to currently, who do you pull from now? Who do you like listening to?
So, you know, it's funny. Still, I still sort of fall back on a lot of old familiar favorites for me. You know, I no matter how many times I listen to them, I continue to learn something new. And so those people are like Lindsey Buckingham and Bill Withers, Norah Jones. That's, you know, a lot of Indigo Girls. So those singer-songwriters like Mary Chapin Carpenter, Tracy Chapman, Leonard Cohen, all that type of stuff. Singer-songwriters, sort of classic rock, alternative, contemporary. That's sort of where I've always been able to find a lot of great inspiration and always something new to discover with each listen. And that's still true today, all these years later.
Now, you brought up Tom Petty earlier. Is there anything in like that Americana that you like to pull from?
Absolutely. You know, I think there's, especially on this new EP, there's sort of hints of sort of Tom Petty type stuff. I think of what album he did in the 90s. Wildflowers, I think it was called. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, there's a lot of that type of influence on this new EP I've done. You know, it's sort of acoustic and more roots rock, and that sort of ascribes to that Tom Petty thing a little bit.
So let's get into that new album. When did it come out? What's the name of the album? Could you give us a little bit of info behind the album?
Yeah. So about a year ago, a little over now, I went back into the studio and was ready to cut some new songs, and ended up cutting 19 new songs, which was a lot more than I went in with, and was a lot more than I thought would actually stick. But we came out with 19 brand new songs, and sort of had this thinking of, well, what to do with all these? Is this going to be two separate albums? Is it going to be just one big album? Is it going to be four EPs? You know, we didn't quite know. But what ended up happening was, you know, when I was going through the songs and seeing what meshed well together, 15 of the songs worked really well as a strong, solid album, and that'll be going out next year at some point. And then the other four songs were all acoustic and sort of just held together really well as an acoustic EP, which came out on November 19th, and it's called The Enormity of Trees and the Essence of Rain.
Nice. And as far as putting that music out first, was there any idea or reasoning behind what came out now, or is it just like kind of like the first round of releasing things?
It just, you know, I think it was almost more of a logistical reason why it came out first. You know,
gotcha.
I thought it might be a better idea to sort of put some acoustic stuff out first and then, you know, sort of work our way up to the album, which is a little bit more eclectic in terms of style and is, you know, not an acoustic record. It's, you know, much more expansive in terms of versatility and stuff like that. And also, you know, the, in terms of trying to get something out for this year, it was a lot, it was a much more easier feat to just mix and master an acoustic EP than a, you know, a full-length album. So
gotcha.
We're still actually finishing. We're just getting ready to master the album. You know, we thought it would be a good idea to put the EP out in the meantime.
Now, as far as marketing, how did you release the album, and, like, how did you go about, like, trying to push? Now, you said you don't play a whole lot of shows, so you got to have other avenues of getting that music out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, and thanks to people like you and podcasts like this and stuff, that always is a huge help. But, you know, social media is huge now. And so, you know, there's always Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, which I've just recently joined. And so, you know, things like that are hugely beneficial to me and to a bunch of artists in the same boat that I'm in. So, you know, that's sort of the way of music today.
Man, it's just amazing. I mean, one of the benefits to the way music is right now is that you're able to, I agree with you, find things that maybe you wouldn't have heard otherwise. And as far as people finding the album, where can they find the music at?
So I'm on Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, let's see, all the online music outlets, Tidal. So anywhere you find music, you can find Mark Ambrosia Music, and Amazon too,
awesome.
and all those things.
Now, Mark, do you plan on doing any kind of performances behind this? Are you going to do any live shows now that you have this music coming out? Are you trying to step a little bit more into that role?
Yeah, so we're sort of starting to have conversations about that likely after the new year, you know, we'll probably be kicking up some acoustic sets at like wineries and stuff like that, which I always loved playing wineries. I haven't done that in years. And so I thought it would be fun to, you know, maybe do something a little bit more low key and just, you know, me and maybe two guitar players and, you know, play some, you know, play the songs from the EP and then sort of revisit some of my other work that was more sort of synth heavy or full band oriented and sort of arrange them acoustically for that type of setting. So that's sort of what we're talking about right now.
Awesome. Would love to see it.
Yeah.
And any upcoming shows or anything like that, please post them to the Rock and Roll Union page so we can make sure we follow along with you.
Absolutely.
My last question for you, Mark, is I'm getting ready to play your song, I Will. Could you tell us a little bit about that song?
Yeah, so I Will is a song that I co-wrote, actually, with my buddy Amir Hader, and he's over in London. And we wrote this together during the COVID lockdown last year via Skype. So, you know, everyone was, you know, locked up in their own little, you know, corners of the world. But, you know, thanks to the power of technology, I was able to link up with Amir and we were able to write this song. And really, it's a song about friendship, commitment, surviving change, and the future. And we just were getting ready to put together a music video for I Will. I had a bunch of fans and listeners who submitted photos of them and their best friend, and we're going to make a sort of a photo montage music video for the song, and I'm really excited to hopefully be putting that out in the next couple of weeks.
That's awesome. I can't wait to see that. Mark, thank you so much for being with us on this crazy Monday night, and my best to everything that you're doing. Like I said, please keep us up to date with everything so that we can follow along right along with you.
Will do. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. You have a great rest of your week, Mark.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Pesky little demons lurking in the shadows. You don't know what's coming round the corner, but neither do I, so I won't patronize. I'll just take this moment to promise you I will hold on to your hand. I won't let go until we get to the light. Don't say you're gonna be lonely, cause I will be right there at your side. I will hold on to your hand. I won't let go until we get to the light. Don't say you're gonna be lonely, cause I will be right there at your side. To feel unsure when the world knocked you down and you're lying on the floor, when troubles come and you need to find your strength again. I'll pick you up, I'll dust you off, I'll be your friend. I will hold on to your hand. I won't let go until we get to the light. Don't say you're gonna be lonely, cause I will be right there at your side. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, to your hand. I won't let go until we get to the light. Don't say, don't say. Right there at your side. I will be right there at your side.
That was Mark Ambrosia with I Will. Big thanks to him for being on the show this evening, as well as Level Eye. Guys, thank you so much for listening in. Just a reminder that we're going to be partying in Williamstown. All the details are in our events page. We will be having our podcast / Christmas party Saturday night. If you can make it, we'd sure love to see you there, guys. And until next time, bring back rock and roll. Have a good week, guys.